Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome you once again to the Us Lifting Us Thursday night Dare to Win call. We're here every Thursday from 9 p.m. until 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And yes, our roots begin in Africa, and we must stay deeply connected to our roots for our survival, for our sanity, for our cultural connection. And tonight we will be having another very vital topic, and we give thanks always to all of our beautiful sisters and brothers that come forth to bring us this vital, necessary information that we must have in order to have greater clarity so that we can move forward and become free and maintain our freedom. And tonight, the topic is the dis-ease management system, the dis-ease management system. And we're here every Thursday to have a sober discussion about the economic and political plight of Black people and the global cooperative economic model that provides an exact method of gaining economic and political self-determination. We are building the global machinery for our economic freedom and sovereignty and the methodology to pass it forward to future generations. And Us Lifting Us does have that exact model in place, the cooperative economics model, and it is the model that we need, family-centered economics, as we say at Us Lifting Us. And we invite you to... You have the option to participate in this call, and you can call us by telephone at 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789, and press the number 1 when you're ready to speak. And you can also reach us by internet radio, because we are heard not just by telephone but by internet radio around the world, and we do have Us Lifting Us members around the world. And you can go to the Us Lifting Us homepage, www.usliftingus.com. That's usliftingus.com. And when you get to the home page, you look for the button that says Ulu Radio, and you click on that. And when the screen changes, you click on the tab that says Listen Live. And I also want to remind you, this is a vital subject tonight, topic, the dis-ease management system. Please take notes in your mind. Write down notes. This is another one of the vital topics that we bring you every Thursday. Take notes and make sure that you be aware that this will be archived in the next 2 or 3 days on Blog Talk Radio's archives by the topic titled "The Dis-Ease Management System," and dated August 31st, 2023. It will be archived on Blog Talk, and make sure you pass it on to your family and friends, because the subject is vital to our survival, our sanity, our clarity. And I'm Brother Thurman, and I'm an Us Lifting Us member. And also joining us tonight is Us Lifting Us member, Sister Q. And we give thanks for the information that she always, good information, vital information that she always brings to us. Welcome, Sister Q.
Peace, Brother Thurman. Thank you. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm good. I'm in good company with you and the other sisters and brothers by telephone and by internet radio.
It's good to be here.
Good. And family, let's get started with the subject, the dis-ease management system. And Sister Q, how did you come up with the topic for tonight's program?
Brother Thurman, a couple of weeks ago, one of our Dare to Win listeners, Sister Deborah from Richmond, called in, and in her comments, she suggested that someone do a program about the healthcare system. So here we are. You know, we keep asking people to give us topic suggestions, and she gave us one, so we hope that she'll be satisfied with the information that we share.
Good. Much thanks from all of us to Sister Deborah. And tell us, why do you say dis-ease management system instead of healthcare system, Sister Q?
Okay. The purpose of what is commonly called the healthcare system is to speed up the depopulation of the planet. We know that Rockefeller and a bunch of his cronies set this, created the system. What we are just now really coming to understand is that all of these people that set the system up were eugenicists, and their goal was to decrease the population. So to achieve their depopulation goal, what they did was create lists of symptoms which were classified as disease. They created poisons called prescription drugs that were petroleum-based and still are. They formulated these poisons to treat the disease. Each one of the poisons / drugs that they created has its own list of symptoms for which they create another drug poison, which they can then prescribe for the same person. So that's why when someone goes to the doctor for one thing and they get a drug for that one thing, eventually they wind up with a second drug and a third drug and a fourth drug, because actually those are carefully monitored poisons, and they know that they are slowly poisoning people to death. Basically, the more diseased people there are, the more money that the disease management system makes. Healthy people do not use that system, and therefore they do not feed it their money.
Wow. Wow, that's a powerful statement. Healthy people do not use that system. Family, are you listening? Are you listening? Thank you so much, Sister Q. Another question. Don't we need such a system, regardless of it being called dis-ease management or health care? Don't we need it?
We've been programmed to operate as if we need such a system. We have been told that we are destined to get sick as we age and that we need the system to help us stay healthy or to keep us healthy. We've been seeing that on TV all the time. We get commercials that say, you know, from the age of 20, this part of your body falls down. When you reach the age of 30, this part of your body falls down. When you reach the age of 40, this part of your body falls down. So we are programmed to think that our body falling apart over time is a natural thing. And they always tell us a drug for the falling down of the body. And so we just basically don't even think about it. We just are on autopilot, so to speak. We feel bad, we go to the doctor, and they give us these medications. So actually, our natural state of being is perfect health or wellness. And when we live as we are meant to live, we don't develop those diseases. Many of the so-called symptoms that we have been taught to all disease are actually our body's natural way of healing and restoring itself. Rockefeller and them knew that, but they knew that we didn't know that. And so they took advantage of the situation and programmed us to accept the idea that our body's natural healing operations were actually a disease, and then we would come to them and they would give us a poison to stop what was the body's own innate healing system or operation. So, no, we don't need the system, whether it's called disease management or healthcare. Our body is perfectly capable of restoring and healing itself.
That is, family, please listen. Please take notes of what's being said. And the Rockefellers did that many decades ago. And
yes,
it's amazing. I don't know. If you might know, have any idea what percentage of our people, are still falling for what you're telling about. So, being because of their programming, what percentage, roundabout, of our people, anybody know, got any idea, is still taking these poisons that you're talking about? Certainly not me. But it would be of some value if there was some kind of a roundabout number, you know. You say that at a minimum it's over 50%, like the majority of our people are still being programmed, duped, and deceived?
I think so, Brother Sermon. And part of the reason it would be such a large number is that the programming is persistent and insistent. You turn on the television and you get all these commercials for these drugs and, you know, they say ask your doctor. So automatically there's a command to go somewhere to see if you have something wrong with you, because we're programmed that if it's not something wrong with you today, it will be something wrong with you tomorrow. You know, it's the way things are supposed to go. And we are actually made to feel as if it's something wrong with us if we don't have, if we're not on medication, if we don't have to go to the doctor every, once a month or whatever. I met a woman and her position was, as you get older, you're just going to have to go to the doctor. You're just going to have to spend a lot of time in the doctors after you get older. And so that was her plan, you know.
Mm.
Well, I'm older now, I have to go to the doctor. So I think it's a lot of us that do just accept that it's inevitable. However, what I will say too is that because of the COVID lockdowns, people were able to have time to think and analyze certain things that were going on if they weren't watching the TV. So they were going on their computers and learning about the system and learning about how their body actually works. So I think the number has gone down a little bit.
Okay.
I can't, you know, like I said, we can't say for sure how much, how many people, what percentage of people actually still perceive the doctor as God and the hospital as church.
Yeah, and when you said you feel the number has gone down even just a little bit, so another way to state that, would you say that there's been an awakening that's still continuing?
Yes, I think
an awakening.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes, I think people are waking up to.
Good word. Another question. If perfect health is our natural state of being and the body can heal itself, how do we wind up in the dis-ease management system? How do we get there?
Okay, let's start out as if we start out as adults. Let's pretend we start out as adults, okay? So as adults, we are taught to look for jobs with good health insurance, right? So then we get this job with good health insurance, and we are encouraged to go for our free annual checkup. What we are not told is, on average, each medical test has an error rate of at least 30%. So that means that for every 10 people that take a particular medical test, that all these 10 people are healthy, right? They don't have anything wrong with them. But three out of those 10 people at least are going to be told that they have the disease that test is designed to capture. So what winds up happening is a whole bunch of people who do not have anything at all wrong with them get assigned a disease, and then they're put on a prescription drug. Okay? So again, each drug has its own list of what they call counterindications or side effects. They're called side effects, even though the symptoms are what can be reasonably be expected to occur as a result of taking the particular poison that you're taking. So in some cases, the disease condition that we are given the drug for is one of the so-called side effects. So you have, you know, that little white, I don't know, because I think you don't go to the doctor either, but you get when you get your prescription filled, it has a piece of a document that has the name of the drug, what is usually given to you for, what the contraindications are. And in many instances, it's like you'll take a high blood pressure medication, it'll say on there that part of the contraindications are high blood pressure, stroke, heart attack. So then people are saying, oh, so-and-so had a stroke. And they say, well, you know they had high blood pressure. Well, yeah, no, not really, but they were taking a drug for high blood pressure, and the drug was making their pressure go up, and the drug led to the stroke, but nobody's going to say that. in the system because that's the purpose of the system, to make you sick and take you out of here. Even though nobody, you know, really promotes that notion. It's the what do you say, the evidence speaks for itself. So remember when they were having the PCR test for COVID-19?
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, the experts allowed that the PCR test had a better than 97% error rate. That means that 97% of the people that they were saying were positive for COVID, they are now admitting that those people didn't have COVID at all. Now, actually, the error rate was 100% because there is no SARS-CoV-2 virus, and therefore there's no COVID-19, and there are no variables. The whole scamdemic, plandemic was, we'll say, fifth-generation warfare at its finest. It was a psyop to get people to take the jab. And just a couple of days ago, like early, what's today, Thursday? Okay, it's like Monday or Tuesday. The CDC admitted that 99% of the reported COVID deaths had nothing to do with COVID at all. I'm wondering why they said 99% and not 100%, but still they want people to think. Because, see, as long as you think that there is a virus of any kind, then they can keep selling you the same story. Once you realize there are no viruses that can, you know, people don't get sick from viruses, no virus is just something they made up. The picture they show you is a computer-generated image. If people realize that, the game is up because they use the threat of the virus to sell the vaccines and different medications. Once you know there's no virus, you know there's no need for the vaccine, there's no need for the medications, and they would lose a lot of money. So that's why they will not acknowledge right now, and the whole thing about, you know, was it a lab leak, was it not a lab leak, who was funding the lab and all that other stuff, that's really a distraction. I don't know, because, you know, your political leaders go to the same schools that we go to, basically, and they don't really know that much. They just know what they're told, just like we only know what we're told. Their programming is to trust the experts, just like our programming is to trust the experts. So they may actually really think there could be a virus, you know, that leaked out of a lab somewhere, just like there are people among us who think that there was a virus that leaked out of a lab somewhere. So I think you can't really get upset with the so-called leaders. However, you can't trust them either. You can't take anything they say at face value. You have to do your own study, your own research, and come to your own conclusions.
Wow. That is so powerful, family. Please pass it on to your family and your contacts. All of us need to know this. We thank you again, Sister Q. It seems that over the past 100 years or so, each generation has been sicker than the one before it.
Sister Q? I would say that it seems that way because it is that way. In the early 1900s, There was a dentist named Preston Price, Weston, W-E-S-T-O-N, Weston Price. And he traveled the world documenting disease conditions that he found. And what he was really doing was checking to see how people's diets affected the formation of their teeth. So he would see that people that lived up in the mountains that never touched commercial foods and stuff, their teeth were strong, they had strong bones and everything, and the people that were using canned foods and commercial foods and stuff, their teeth were misaligned and different things like that. So one of the things that he documented was that there was not a single case of diabetes among dark-skinned people in North America. So now it is said that almost 12% of what they call non-Hispanic blacks have diabetes, almost 12%, where it was 100 years ago, nobody, none among us. So we keep hearing that, you know, these diseases like diabetes is hereditary. Well, how can it be hereditary when 100 years ago nobody had it in our line? You know, because we say, well, my grandmother had it or my mother had it, so I must have it. But based on the documentation, your grandmother's grandmother didn't have it. So how is it hereditary? What was your grandmother so many times removed doing that she didn't have diabetes? What is your grandmother doing that she does? So what I'm finding, though, is that the population is sliced and diced into so many categories that it really is hard to come up with a definite percentage or number of people within our community who have diabetes. However, when we look on commercials on television, we get the impression that diabetes is, you know, very prevalent. You know, there's so many commercials for diabetes and your A1C and your this and your that. So that makes us more likely to accept diabetes when it gets assigned to us when we go for our annual checkup. So also in the early 1900s, cancer was extremely rare. As a matter of fact, people wouldn't even say the word cancer. They would say the big C, and they would whisper about it. You know, it was like a shame to say that someone in your family had cancer. In December of 1971, Richard Nixon signed the National Cancer Act into law and began the so-called War on Cancer. Since that time, 1971, which is what, 50-something years ago, cancer has become a multi-billion dollar a year business. What we also are told is that the third leading cause of death in the United States is the disease management system. They say heart disease is number one and cancer is number two. However, what we know is that a large number of cases of heart disease and cancer are caused by the prescription drugs and the other medical interventions. So that means that the disease management system is actually the leading cause of death. Not number three, it's number one. And they, again, the goal is depopulation. So they're not going to do anything to lower that. They used to say, like, 1 in 25 people will develop cancer by such and such year, 1 in 20 people. Now I think they're saying 1 in every 3 people are going to develop cancer. Since they have, to my knowledge, the last looking that I did, nobody has ever identified a cancer cell. So it's just a matter of telling people that they have cancer and then assigning the chemotherapy trip and whatever they're going to do. And oncologists, the doctors that specialize in the treatment of cancer, when they are surveyed, they said that they would not give those chemotherapy drugs to their family members. They'll give them to you and take you to court if you don't want to take it. However, they won't give it to their own family members. So they know something that they're not telling. So we talked about the disease management system being the leading cause of death. So there's a name for that kind of stuff. It's iatrogenic or iatrogenesis. I think I'm spelling it. I'm saying it right. It's iatrogenic or iatrogenesis. And what that is, the causation of a disease, a harmful complication, or other ill effect by any medical activity, including diagnosis, intervention, error, or negligence. So that means that at any point along your medical journey in the hospital, you have a good chance of being made worse by the diagnosis, by what they give you, whatever kind of treatment they do. What they're basically saying is it's not good to be in those places. So in 1973, Richard Nixon, again, signed the Health Maintenance Organization Act, which allowed hospitals, insurance companies, clinics, and doctors to function as for-profit entities. So at that point, the focus became making as much profit as possible. There is no longer any pretense of an intention to cure anyone because every patient cured is a customer lost. The plan is to have every customer using as many products as possible. That's why you start off with one drug and you wind up walking around with a suitcase for your medications. The insurance companies function to help keep the patient paying as much into the system as possible. So you make your contribution to your medical plan, right? Then you go for your free checkup. It's not free. You already paid for it. And you pay whatever percentage of the cost they assign to you to fill your prescriptions. You know, like they tell you, you have a 30% deductible or you have to pay $5 per prescription or whatever they tell you. And sometimes the insurance claims are denied, and we wind up paying more out of pocket. There was an article not too long ago where they talked about it's a particular kind of insurance company. It's like when your doctor files your insurance claim, right? And the insurance will say, we'll pay for this amount, but not that amount. So that, then they send it back. So you actually, in theory, have the opportunity now to go back and say, well, I want you to look at this because I think that I'm entitled to have this whole thing paid off. And what they discovered was there were people who their job was just to deny the claim. And there was a situation where in 3 seconds of picking up your folder, they'll deny your claim. And it was okay for them not to open the folder and look at it to see what your claim was actually about. So in 3 seconds, what did they do? Pick up the folder, sign on it, denied, and initial it. That's 3 seconds. They haven't looked at anything. They haven't read anything. And that's fine. If you can continue to fight, sometimes people will go get a lawyer to help them get their money or whatever. But it's basically a racket, and they know most people are not going to contest it. So the insurance money, the insurance company is a strong part of getting your money to go into the insurance, into the disease management system. So all of the money that we are paying into the disease management system makes it less likely that we will have money to put into products and or services that are actually beneficial to our health. I've met people who, you know, they say they've been told they have such and such a thing, and I said, well, why don't you go to, you know, a holistic health practitioner? And I said, well, I can't afford it. I've already, you know, they take so much money out of my check for insurance. So now I don't have money to go to what we would call an alternative healer. Then the other thing that leads to us being sicker now, sicker now than our grandparents were. In 1986, the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act was passed, and it granted drug companies immunity from certain lawsuits related to injuries and deaths caused by vaccinations. This act was passed because the vaccine manufacturers had admitted that all vaccines are unavoidably unsafe. And the vaccine manufacturers had threatened to stop making the vaccines unless the federal government granted them immunity. So think about COVID-19, where they kept telling you this jab is safe and effective. The manufacturers have already said it's unavoidably unsafe. There is no such thing as a safe vaccine. So these unavoidably unsafe vaccines create a big patient base of children, of sick children, who get fed into the disease management system.
Cute.
Even children who do not appear to have suffered any immediate harm are expected to have symptoms that require drugs or treatment at another time, at a later date in their life. Now we're finding that there are children's hospitals in almost they're all over the U.S., major cities, they have children's hospitals. And you have to think to yourself, how and when did these children's hospitals become a thing? You know, we already had hospitals. Now they have a hospital for your eyes, a hospital for your you know, for cancer, a hospital for your children, a hospital for different specialty hospitals, all right? So everywhere we look now, we are seeing that they're building more hospitals, more urgent care centers, more dialysis centers, more diagnostic centers, everywhere they're being built up. So that says to me that someone is expecting a lot more people to be sick in the coming near future because they're building them now.
Mm. Well, Sister Q, this is family. This is very, very disturbing information. Family, Sister Q, we had a caller on the line. Caller, if you still have a question or comment, please press the number one on your keypad once again. And family members that's listening by telephone, you can participate in the conversation with your question or comment by dialing 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789, and press the number one on your telephone when you're ready to speak with your question or comment. And we did have a caller, and maybe their question was answered, Sister Q. And please, family, be taking notes. There's a lot of powerful awakening and even shameful stuff that's being done. And Sister Q, we do have a caller. The
okay.
The caller with the last four number is 7204. 7204, please give us your name. Tell us where you're calling from and what your question or comment is.
Yes, good evening. How y'all doing? This is Deborah calling from Richmond, Virginia. How you doing tonight?
Deborah?
Yeah,
doing
can
great.
You hear me?
How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. And I really enjoy that. Really, we need to know more and more about the medical disease people establishment because it's really, it's horrible when it really gets deep. One of the reasons if anybody's still going to a doctor's and everything or need to go to the doctor, please always get a second or third opinion before they do something to you, operate or anything like that. You need to get more than just that doctor's opinion or somewhere, anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they might say two different things that should get a good question in your mind. And also just to use, we still, like I said, you also use food. We got to remember that they're putting so many chemicals in the food and so many chemicals in the air. And that's why we need to start our own food. We need to start, you know, raising our own food and everything because they're using everything to get rid of us.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have to say. Thank you very much for this evening.
And thank you, Sister DeBoer, for your comment.
Okay.
And once again, thank you, Sister DeBoer, you know, loving us, lifting us member. And family, this is very, like all of our conversations, a very vital topic to get clarity and get the confusion out. And so many things have been said, and we do urge you to continue to take notes. And the last piece that Sister Q was talking about the disease management system and how the children are suffering, and it's just straight up cruelty. I mean, you could call it some other things too, some evilness. And Sister Q, how can we avoid getting caught up in the dis-ease management system?
Brother Sermon, I think the best thing that we could do is to remember that perfect health and wellness is our natural state of being. So we can. There's a lot of basic things that we can do to support our body's perfect health. I'll do a small list, but the first one, I think, is to learn to listen to our own body. We are always, you know, told to listen to the experts, trust the science and whatever, but your body will tell you what it needs when it is, you know, cleansing itself or getting rid of stuff that it doesn't need. And I think another thing is to not automatically assume that you're sick because something is happening. Your body is getting rid of stuff that it doesn't need. That's not sickness. That's cleaning up. So we take, I think it would be helpful if we took the position that your body knows what it needs to do. Just get out of the way, let your body do what it needs to do, and listen to your body to tell you what it needs from you when it's trying to do things. So, for instance, I had done a detox, and my body was asking for grapes, and I didn't have any grapes. I had some salad making, so I ate the salad, and it was like, nah, that ain't it, you know. So finally, I had to get someone to go to the store for me and get some grapes. And immediately when I bit into the grape, I hadn't chewed it up or swallowed it. I bit into it, and my body was like, ah, you know, I felt immediately better. So this, your body will tell you, you know, what it wants. Sometimes your cravings for things, is your body saying, is something in that food that I need to help me heal right now? Get it for me. So don't argue. Just get it. You know, we can get fresh air as much as possible. It have, if you're lucky enough to have trees in your environment, you know, keep your window, if you can keep your windows open to let the, what I call tree breath, in your environment, so that will help you. We need optimum nutrition. Everything we think, see, hear, taste, touch, and smell is part of the diet. So be careful what kind of things you think about. Be careful what you, you know, what you eat. You can't watch all kinds of movies. You can't listen to all kinds of music. All of these things have an effect on your body. We talked about earlier how, you know, they've weaponized sound. So you think you're listening to music for relaxation and to heal yourself, and they've got the music modulated so that it's going to make you sick. So all of these things we have to be mindful of. We can get some exercise. It doesn't have to be intense. You just move the body, you know, because your body is made for movement. So move your body every once in a while, more than once in a while. Move your body. You can get plenty. We need to get plenty of rest. Your body will tell you how much rest you need. I'm not one of the people that would say you need absolutely to get so many hours of sleep. Your body will tell you when you need to sleep. Because your body may need, you know, 14 hours of sleep tonight because it's got something it's doing. that they have the 14-ounce soup. Don't worry about it, you know. Remember that you are nature. So what does that mean to you? You keep saying we need to go out in nature, but you are nature. Sometimes you need to go into nature to figure out how to heal your body. And then one of the things I think is important is to hang out with people who talk up health. I don't know if you've ever been around people who talk about their journey through the disease management system, we'll say. So they'll say, well, I have high blood pressure and my doctor has me taking whatever, name a poison. And then somebody else will try to one-up them. You know, well, I have high blood pressure and I have diabetes, so I'm on this and I'm that. And the people are actually, like, competing to see who is sickest, who has to go to the doctor the most, and who has to take the most medication. So that's not what we want to do. If you want to be in good health, talk about the things you're doing to improve your health. Talk about the things you're doing to keep your body working at its optimum. And I think when we change our focus and recognize that melanin has a big part to play in that, because we tend to take our melanin for granted, but other people have studied our melanin to the molecule, so they know things to do. So we need to study our melanin and know. And again, listen to your body. Your body will tell you that, you know, you don't need to worry about a particular thing because the melanin will handle it. We go get medication. The medication is not formulated for us. It's as a matter of fact, this is, they say that the medication is formulated for a 19-year-old white male who is about 6 feet tall and 200 pounds. So the medication is calibrated for his body. So if you don't fit, if that's not your description, the medication is not the optimum for you anyway. And we have been told more than once that the melanin, because of our melanin, we can get away with a lot less medication. And it will, I think, a quarter of the amount that they generally prescribe, if you were going to take medication, would, I can't say do you good, but it wouldn't hurt you as much as taking a full dose. But we don't know that either, you know. So we just go to the doctor and take whatever we're told to take. And I'm not saying that your particular doctor is trying to kill you, okay. Most of our doctors have good intentions, but they went to the same schools that we went to and they stayed there longer. They don't know any better. They only know what they learned in school. And they don't know that Rockefeller set up the system to kill people. They think they're going there to help people. And then they come out with, you know, $250,000 worth of student loans that they need to pay off, and then when they begin to figure out that the system is not working in the way that they thought it might work, they feel kind of in many instances. And what they're saying now is a lot of the young doctors are committing suicide because they don't have the heart to keep doing. You know, they see their patients dying before their eyes. They don't have the heart for that because they came to heal people. They want to see people. They want to administer something to the people and see the people get up and be healthy and happy and whatever. And they realize the lie, and they think the only way to get out of it is to take themselves off the board. So that's all I have.
My goodness, this is some awakening information, Sister Q. Family, before we once again give much praise to Sister Q for this vital information that she's brought forward, we do have another caller. And family, don't forget this conversation, this vital conversation about the dis-ease management system will be in the archive of Blog Talk under that title and well, the date of August the 31st, 2023. We have a caller whose last four numbers are 3440, 3440. Please give us your name and tell us where you're calling from and what your question or comment is. They stepped away from the telephone. 3440, are you there? Maybe there was some kind of connection.
Yes, I'm here. Hello, can you hear
okay.
me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah,
yes.
I was on mute. Yay, I'm on mute. I apologize for that. This is Brother Shabaka calling from Florida, South Florida, and greetings to you and Sister Q. Very, very good program. I wanted to alert the family to pay close attention to what Sister Q is providing. And remember, Sister Q had talked about the fifth generation warfare. And this thing right here is part of that. And you say, why do I say that? Well, because number one, you know, they affect our minds and have us not concentrate. As she said earlier, and Brother Verma said earlier, you know, listen to your body. No, we don't listen to our body. We're brainwashed to listen, all right, to the physician and take the medication that they have. Think about this. According to the WHO, all right, nearly 7 million people died from COVID, all right, 7 million people died from COVID, all right, later to come out because of misdiagnosis and lies, and the European didn't have to fire a shot. Keep that in mind.
Right.
7 million yes. people died, and the Europeans didn't have to fire a shot. All they had to do was come out with the propaganda and then have set up, you know, the poison that you and Sister Q were talking about earlier in the program. I'll leave it at that, and you all have a good evening.
Thank you. And thank you for pointing that out for us, Brother Shabaka. I think the whole medical system is part of this fifth generation. We're bombarded with it all day, every day, from every angle and every direction. So thank you for pointing that out.
Yes, thank you, brother. Sister Q, I don't know whether you had some thoughts from somebody that talked about being forced to remain silent. Did you talk about that?
Oh, that's what it is. Okay, so it says, it's a quote by Theodore Dalrymple. I don't really know who that is. What he says is, when people are forced to remain silent, when they are being told the most obvious lies, or even worse, when they are forced to repeat the lies themselves, they lose once and for all their sense of probity. To assent to obvious lies is to cooperate with evil, and in some small way to become evil oneself. One standing to resist anything is thus eroded and even destroyed. A society of emasculated liars is easy to control. And I think that's where we are getting to be. You know, people will not have become afraid to speak the truth.
You said afraid to speak?
Afraid to speak the truth. And also, too, what is it now with the censor, disinformation, misinformation, all kinds of threats and coercion to get people to not tell what they know for truth? So I think people have got to understand that, as far as I think, truth and righteousness are their own protection. So when you tell the truth, you will be protected. Just know that.
Okay. Family, let's once again give big praise to Sister Q for bringing forth this vital information, and we must ingest it and pass it on to our family members, including the last piece you read about how they mess with your head and have you telling, agreeing with and accepting their lies. And she also told us in the conversation about being our natural self and how the body can heal itself. And let's all get back on the natural side of things and use what nature provided. And let's get strapped and put a gun on our side. And the reason I say that is few weeks ago, Brother KRS-One was speaking about what we must do. And he said, we must go back to nature. And he said, nature? He said, well, let's put it like this. God, the universe, and nature. And then he said, gun. And then he said, if you're listening, I just gave you a weapon. God, the universe, and nature. Sister Q, anything else before we go tonight?
No, I think that's a very excellent way to end it.
Yes.
God, the universe, and nature. We don't need any better weapon than that.
Family, give thanks, and I give thanks again, Sister Q. Very vital information, and it will be on Blog Talk on the archives under the title, The Dis-Ease Management System. Pass it on to your family. Pass it on to the sisters and brothers, to the community. And remember what she talked about, the body can heal itself. Get strapped with the gun, the God, the universe, and nature. Keep yourself well, heal yourself, and we will begin once again to be unstoppable, and there'll be no stopping.
us down. But now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go. And where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together. We're polishing up our act. And if you've never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going, they don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're gonna put our shirts together, gonna polish up our ass down. And if you've never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
Keep us